Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Well, hello again, my wonderful, wonderful audience. We're going to have a really truth-packed day today with Patrick Wood. And I'll tell you when I introduce him further why he is certainly one of the most educational figures in my life. Really interesting how the importance of one book could be to me. Catching you up briefly on what's happening in my life, Ginger's. We are, of course, immersed right now in the controversy surrounding Desmond and Malone. And you can catch up on that by going to 123masspsychosis.com. 123masspsychosis.com and find out why we are putting so much energy into explaining what they are saying and what they are doing to our movement. It's a very, very important work that we're doing right now. Be back very quickly. Now, this is the book, Technocracy Rising. It's an interesting cover. Take a look at that. That's a book that if you're all interested in globalism and who's running the world, and if you thought our book, me and Ginger's book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators was interesting and introduced you to a whole new arena, this will continue your education. It's written a few years ago, but it is timeless. It is by Patrick Wood, and Patrick is an amazing man. He just got into a subject, and you know, and it's a big subject. It goes all the way back to sustainability, sustainable development, these code words for, look out, we're going to take your life over and maybe leave you a little husk on the ground. The green economy, Agenda 21, and the technocracy itself. He's really devoted his life to this, and a big issue is the Trilateral Commission. No, that is not a conspiracy theory. A very, very active and important organization that he's done a great deal to talk about. And we're going to hear about it today. And it's very closely related to transhumanism. It is kind of the background for much of the Great Reset, the ruling our lives by people who consider themselves technology experts, or at least they own some technocracy experts. Patrick, thank you. Thank you very much for being with us again.
Yeah, and my pleasure.
It's just good to see you. We were on a Zoom call the other day, but we didn't get a chance to talk very much on our Zoom call.
Right.
There's big news, folks. I mean, serious breaking news. And we have probably the best man in the world to talk about it right now. What's going on with the Joe Biden and his decrees?
Right. This is a kind of a, I can't even call it a mixed blessing. It's the announcement by the Biden administration that he had just signed a new executive order. There's a habit ever since Bill Clinton, by the way, for presidents, especially more liberal presidents, to try and rule by executive order. That's essentially kind of a dictatorship. But you know, this has become a thing. So forget Congress, you know, forget working through the legal system to get laws passed and stuff. We'll just make an executive order for it, do it, and then see what happens. You know, see, throw the mud at the wall and see what sticks. And this is kind of what Biden did with this current EO that he just signed. It's called the National Biotechnology and Biomanufacturing Initiative. How's that for a mouthful? The National Biotechnology and Biomanufacturing Initiative. And it's a very long and complex executive order. Very well written in one sense, very clever. You can tell whoever wrote it really put some thought into it, weaving the words and the thoughts together and to make it really tight to accomplish an objective. And of course, my guess is that Biden probably didn't understand even one sentence in the entire document that he signed off on, but nevertheless, he did. But it basically was a wholesale giveaway of our government to what I call the transhuman cabal at this point. It's been working in the world for a long time. We saw their big stake in the ground at the beginning of COVID. This is when it started to come in, and or at least they be visible. And when we got into the messenger RNA injections that came through Moderna and Pfizer, mostly in Comirnaty or BioNTech, we saw everything for the first time in full view. Most people didn't understand what it was all about at that point. But now that Biden has signed this executive order, all the veneer has been ripped off of it. Plain view now what's going on. And this is kind of, you know, what we, I'm glad in one sense that he has released us from any semblance of quote unquote conspiracy theory, because people still like to use that. And I hear it all the time. I've been writing for this, you know, 45 years, and I've got proof, documentation at every turn. And people still look at me and say, you know what? You're not seeing it right. This can't be true. You know, it's just, you know, you're just smoking something, whatever, bad.
Yeah.
But now, if I was a conspiracy theorist last year, now, if you continue that thought, Joe Biden has all of a sudden become the greatest conspiracy theorist of all time, because he's saying, folks, genetic modification is where it's all at right now. We're going to do everything we can. We're going to fast track genomics. We're going to track genomic research. We're going to fast track building cells from scratch using DNA and computers. And it's like, ooh, this all the stuff we've been talking about now for quite a while. It's in the clear blue sky for everybody to see, just like when the blimp goes over the football stadium with a sign behind it. It's like everybody can see the sign. This is an incredible piece of work. And just as an example, one of the first paragraphs that comes into it, it says, we need to develop genetic engineering technologies and techniques to be able to write circuitry for cells and predictably program biology in the same way that we write software and program computers. That's a direct quote. Mm. It goes on from there. Of course, this is what Moderna has been saying, by the way, for at least 5-6 years. It was even on their website at one point. They said, you can change the software of life just by changing a line of code. Oh, really? See, here's the problem. The problem with this is nobody asked us if we wanted to have our genes changed. Or if it was, you know, do you think that's a good idea? You know, it's like nobody asked us. No consulting of the public whatsoever. This was all done behind sort of closed doors, university doors a lot, where you had the technology convergence going on, they call it. That's the combination of nanotechnology and biotechnology and neuroscience and information technology. You know, whoever goes to get a story at a university lab, you don't. Nobody does. You know, there would never be a reporter of any kind go in and say, hey, any guys got any good stories here? It looks really boring, but no, it doesn't happen. So this whole movement has been growing globally for years. And everybody just kind of thought, you know, professors, scientists, whatever, you know, doing whatever they do, and there's no concern of ours. But now that they're changing our genome, I'll tell you what, people better sit up and pay attention to it. And I'm glad in this sense that because of this executive order, everything I've said for the last 15 years is 120% vindicated, completely vindicated. If you couldn't believe me before, you cannot help but believe me now, because they have taken over. And, you know, you have to ask, too, who's got the power here? I have said for a long time that governments have lost their power. They've been neutered, especially during COVID. There's somebody like a Fauci standing behind every leader in the world. And who has the power? That they're the ones that are dictating the policies.
Well, and the people behind the Faucis are dictating.
Yes, that's right. The people behind the Faucis. And if nobody believed that, now, how could Biden, a complete technological ignoramus, come up, you know, somebody got close enough to him to say, sign this, you know, and it got through all of the screening. All of his people around him certainly had an opportunity to check this out. And there must have been consensus there that, yes, this is a good thing. We're going to let him sign it. I'm sure Susan Rice was involved in that, by the way. She's the head of domestic policy under Biden, and she's also been a member of the Trilateral Commission for many years. So you know where her interest in this stuff lies. But, you know, now that they slipped this through, we can see that the center of the power rests with these technocrats / transhumanists now. And if that, because they got the goods, I mean, they got the government now on their side. They've got all the research money they'll ever want in 1,000 years. They've got all of the educational resources that they would ever want in 1,000 years. They've instructed every government agency to cooperate with this thing now. So they call it a whole of government initiative. It's like, you look at this and it's like, wow, this has been a transfer of power like we've never seen before. This just sets up a new situation where these people are diving headlong into genetic modification of the human species, of the human race. And it's, you know, if they're, I said at the end of it, if there's any doubt about what they're talking about, this I just wrote an analysis piece today. This will do it for you. This is kind of the concluding paragraph. That's where they give the definitions of what they've been talking about. That's pretty typical in any legislation or an executive order. They'll always have a section at the bottom where they say these are the definitions to reference on what we just said. So they're giving a definition here. It says the term key R&D areas, that's research and development. So the term they're defining is key R&D areas, because that's used in the executive order. It says it includes fundamental R&D of emerging biotechnologies, including engineering biology, predictive engineering of complex biological systems, including the designing, building, testing, and modeling of entire living cells, cell components or cellular systems, quantitative and theory-driven multidisciplinary research to maximize convergence, there's that convergence word, with other enabling technologies. And they go on and say these priorities should be coupled with advances in predictive modeling, data analytics, artificial intelligence, bioinformatics, high performance, and other advanced computing systems. This is unbelievable language. And I'm sure most people are never going to go to read this executive order. I put the full text of it up on my website yesterday, so people might take a shot at reading the whole thing.
What is your website?
It's incredible. You read this,
Patrick,
and so
what is your website?
It's technocracy.news. Sorry. Technocracy.news, not .com. .news.
.news. Good.
Isn't that, I mean, this is so far over that sounds like a science fiction movie from 20 years ago or something, maybe from 5 years ago, maybe last year. This is so crazy. I got to the end of this and I thought to myself, what has this man just done? What has he just done? He has institutionalized transhumanism, genetic modification, and everything that the transhuman movement and most of the technocracy movement has ever stood for. Hijacking, they call it, that's their term, hijacking the evolutionary process to recreate humanity according to their image and their will, their desire, their imagination. Unbelievable.
Give an example of what the product of some of this research might be. I mean, one thing that comes to mind is the enhanced warriors and the gradual enhancing of human beings to be better fighters in one way or another with brain implants or augmented arms and legs and things like that. Give us some real life examples of where this might be taking us that aren't so good.
Well, there's no doubt that the military has been involved in a lot of this for a long time. Yeah. DARPA, IARPA, a couple other Institute of Science, I think it is. It's NSF, whatever that means.
National Science Foundation.
The National Science Foundation has been involved in this. But we can always expect the military is going to have their finger in anything scientific because they want to build war machines that will kill faster, better.
What I'm thinking of, if we come back 10 years from now, what might we see in the way of a human being that we have not imagined before?
We're going to see a lot of very sick people. We're going to see a lot of graves that have been created prematurely for people who have died. We've had a taste of that now in the last 18 months. We've seen prime athletes in the height of their career fall dead on the pitch from a heart attack. Just face plant, running along full speed, face plant in the turf. Pronounced dead on the spot, massive heart attack. We've seen life expectancy, looking at this from another angle. Life expectancy, new study just released this last week. Over the last 2 years in America, life expectancy has dropped by 3 full years. That's huge.
And those are probably deaths mostly from the vaccines.
It could be. There will always be, there's going to be a debate forever on this. You know, these are these gross statistics you would look at, like, or these around the corner statistics, like actuarial tables and insurance companies come up. You know, they're backing all this up. Say, abnormal death, or, you know, the death rate should have been this. This is what we base our premiums on.
COVID-19. I think that's one of the things that's.
So, COVID came in. And what happened during just COVID was pretty easy to document, but the real trouble started when the vaccine started being issued.
Because the folks who are dying are not the people who are dying from COVID.
Yes. And now we're not to long term yet. See, part of the problem is predicting what's going to happen long term. Sorry for the light in my eye, but there's a leak in my window, I guess, that's letting the sun in, just shining right in my eyeball.
We'll have a 2-minute break.
I didn't cover everything today.
But you look fine.
I know. This happens as the months go by and the sun changes where it is in the sky.
Oh,
and
I know.
Of the summertime, I don't have this spot.
Sometimes I've gotten stabbing light right through my head.
So let's see, where were we?
Well, I'm trying to. Now, you've given us, and I think it's a very good response initially, which is that it's going to be pretty dreadful. It's I got really in the middle of all of these issues without knowing it in the early 70s when I did a campaign to stop the return of psychosurgery, including putting in electrodes in people's heads and monitoring them on wards and burning holes in their heads without them even knowing it.
Yes.
And that was Jose Delgado. And he wrote a book called Physical Control of the Mind. It's very much about transhumanism. That was the late 60s, early 70s. I got involved in the early 70s. And the equivalent of DARPA was involved at there was funding from the LEAA, which was the DARPA of the Justice Department then. I think it's something's replaced it or it's closed down. And what I saw was that all of their ambitions and claims were lies. In fact, Harvard surgeons had claimed to have cured a guy without hurting him at all, and that he was a brilliant engineer. And eventually his mother found, because I was criticizing their surgery, and she said, they destroyed my son. You've got to come see him. And he was hiding in bed with a newspaper over his head, saying that the doctors from Mass General and Harvard had he had not been involved in Mass General. I think maybe there was a researcher, but it was Harvard. And I found notes that he'd written, you've taken my brain away, you've killed my brain in the ward, and things like that. And it was a huge expose. And I stopped that, or cut off the funding for all of that stuff back then. I didn't even know the word transhumanism. You probably knew it in the 70s, but I didn't know it.
Well,
I didn't know.
I'll tell you, back then, it was really just kind of an esoteric metaphysical philosophy, more than anything. There was no tangible science at that point that really would
very
help
primitive
them.
Primitive brain manipulation, which ended
yeah, I mean,
in
there was weird stuff going on, yeah, for sure.
But they're probably going to do something that you can see actually performing. What would you anticipate that? Do you think they will be trying to put memory bank implants into the brain? What do you think they're going to be trying to do?
Well, this is the kind of thing that's already happening right now. Neuralink, the company owned by Elon Musk, for instance, is I think they're going to start experimenting still this year with humans, mm-hmm. that they're going to put a chip in there and somehow try and hook it up. You know, that is definitely a thing, and it's something that they want to do. And, you know, they think, well, if we could just get the likes of Google plugged into your brain, well, you could know anything in the world just by asking a question.
Yeah.
And, you know, my experience with this whole crowd going back at least to the early 1990s is that every time they come up with some new brainstorm, mostly cockeyed ideas, but new brainstorms, oh, we're going to do this wonderful thing. You see, it's going to be wonderful. They get into it and they sell futures. They don't sell current state of the art. They sell futures. Well, this is what we're going to do. And just give us a chance. We're going to get this really good thing going. Every time they touch something with this bastardized science, it ends up destroying the object of whatever it is trying to fix. Every time they mess it up. And so you look at COVID, just as an example, modern example, messenger RNA being used to inject into people's bodies to change how the normal body functions, to take the messenger RNA and transcribe it into RNA, and then, transfer it into using your genetic structure in addition to create an effect in your body. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, on paper, I'm sure somebody made a really good argument. This sounds like this ought to work. There was probably some guy who was really legitimately serious and, you know, just a normal microbiologist or whatever that came up and said, you know, we could do this. It sounds like this ought to make a lot of sense if we could do it successfully. So they tried it.
We've got about 50 seconds left now to break.
So they tried it, and now we have thousands of dead bodies all over the world as a result. How'd that work out? Not very well. Not very well. This is the future of genetic modification, in my opinion. It's not going to work out. I'm going to destroy everything they touch.
I'm certain it's not going to work out very well.
Yes.
And what I've seen has been horribly disruptive when I was taking this stuff on decades ago. Right. All right, let's go to break, and we'll be back with Patrick Wood and try to take you into the future. Hopefully not. Hi, folks. Welcome back to Peter Bregan on Refounding America. I'm not sure I gave the title earlier, Refounding America and Reclaiming Ourselves. So that's what we're doing here. And now we're trying to save ourselves from technology, not just reclaim ourselves, but save ourselves from these destructive forces. And here again is the book, Technocracy Rising, by Patrick Wood. And it was published in about 2018, as I remember. And it's been correct about everything. It's that kind of thoughtful deeply researched book. And if you really, if you gain something from reading our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, which is a deep dive into the nature of the current global predators, this book tells you a lot more than we do in our book about how we got there, how this happened, who are the people involved, and today, who are the people involved. Patrick, do you have any greater idea than you mentioned earlier about who's behind him, behind Joe Biden on this particular stunt? We know that Joe Biden did not write probably a word of this. He probably looked at it, maybe, maybe not. He was told to sign it. It's a very technical document. Do you have any idea who might be influencing this, channeling this in the way of people?
I have no direct proof. I don't know a whistleblower, for instance, that would tell me who wrote that, actually, or a team that wrote it. Mm-hmm. But the head of domestic policy for Biden is Susan Rice, and I highly expect that she's very influential in everything that takes place in the Oval Office. But I have no direct proof. Nobody's taken a Polaroid picture of her and sent it to me. It's like there she is signing the document or something. Yeah. I don't know. But
not been her life's work. I mean, she's a politician of the lowest sort, as I remember, isn't she?
As a member of the Trilateral Commission, she's totally given over to this whole concept of technocracy, and now I believe now transhumanism as well. This has spread; its influence has spread incredibly, and nobody really saw it spreading so quickly. You know, Jared Kushner shocked the world the other day when he came out. He's doing an interview, and he came out and he said basically he's a transhumanist. He says I expect that this generation that we're in right now is going to be the first generation that lives forever and the last generation to die. Flat out transhumanist. It's a transhumanist statement. They want to live forever. Immortality is the ultimate goal. And they have to do a lot of experimenting with stuff, you know, to find out how to do that.
Got to kill a lot of people on the way to figuring that one out.
Well, that's right. Well, listen, what happened in Nazi Germany with all the medical experiments? Well, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet, you know. I mean, a few people die, you do these crazy experiments to them. But you see, they picked up information along the way. To them, to the scientists and doctors' minds, they were learning something new every time they killed somebody or maimed or tortured or whatever somebody. They were learning something new that helped them, in their mind, advance their science. And this is what's happening with COVID right now. They failed this experiment, by and large. They failed it. But they've also picked up an incredible amount of information along the way that they'll use in round two, you see, when round two happens. And now with this new executive order, by the way, round two is going to be a permanent institution. They basically turned over all the keys to the government, FDA, all the agencies of the government to make it happen, to make it so. I remember the old Star Trek episode when Captain Picard would say, "Make it so." You know, and they would go off and do a bunch of stuff, you know, to turn the ship or shields up or something. I don't know, whatever. But, you know, this cadre of crackpot scientists that think that they're going to achieve immortality on our backs is patently insane.
And in one generation, one more, just in the next, this coming generation, that's so crazy.
It is. And so, you know, you ask, well, how is this going to work itself out? It's really hard to tell right now, but their stated goal is to enhance the condition of man in order to achieve immortality. That's the ultimate goal. Everything in their policy, this is what NBIC was all about. That stands for nano, bio, information, and the C stands for cognitive science. Cognitive science, that's the brain. How the brain works.
Say something more about the Trilateral Commission.
I
would say that 3 years ago, if I'd walked by a TV and the guy was talking about Trilateral Commission, I would have probably said, oh, some conspiracy nut or something.
Yeah.
I hadn't yet looked into the area. I had no idea that these were very established institutions, the Bilderberg and the you know, the whole works that you talk about in your book. Oh, by the way, folks, just so you know, I'm not kidding when I say this is a valuable book. Can you see these are the opening pages with my notes all over them? And I've got a little note here, Bilderberg, and the Bilderberg connected to the hip bone, no, actually that it provides the idea for the Trilateral Commission, and that overlaps with the Council on Foreign Relations, and all these people know each other. And I think that's a very important triad there.
Yeah.
And it's real. It's not, yes. It's not a conspiracy theory. Yeah. They're conspirators. No. They plan their hearts out, and it's to no good end, which is a good definition of of a conspiracy, is planning your hearts out to no good end for other people.
Right. This is where it started. Modern globalization started in the early 1970s. And in particular, with the establishment of the Trilateral Commission by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski, they stated, this is in the literature, all over their literature, they stated they were going to create a new international economic order. They said that. And it was based on Brzezinski's book that was titled, a 1970 book, that was titled Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. That's what that, and the technotronic era was the technocratic era. It was just a synonym that he used. And his idea at that time was that there, when it says between two ages, it implies there's three ages. Everybody missed this. It's just simple logic. If you're between two ages, it means there's three ages. You got one on the beginning, one on the end, and you're in the middle one. He foresaw the quote unquote technotronic era coming down the road, that, and everything has happened from 73 through today has to do with that existing world order that he was standing on and trying to manipulate in 1973. And we've seen their machinations through the historical thread all over the place to create sustainable development in 1992, to creating the World Economic Forum in 1971. Henry Kissinger was behind that. And, you know, we see this whole movement growing up from just starting with like about 250 people originally at the Trilateral Commission. And it's expanded and has picked up new people and new ideas and new, you know, new agents of contagion along the way to where we are today. This has been their plan. It's like you plant the seed, you know, you plant a little seed and it turns into an oak tree, and then the oak tree grows and puts out branches, and here we are today. We see this giant tree. We wonder how on earth did that get there? Well, it got there because somebody planted the acorn way back when.
And I remember your analysis of the Carter administration. And Brzezinski was like one of his chief advisors, and he's the Trilateral Commission. And I think you counted that most of his advisors were from the Trilateral Commission, and so was
Carter.
Carter.
Yeah, Carter and Mondale both were members of the Trilateral Commission. They were handpicked by Brzezinski. He said so later. It was his idea. Yeah.
And one of the characteristics of this group, folks, is they really don't like America. I mean, and that's really amazing. You think about this group believes that America stands in the way of globalism, and yet the group is producing presidents, secretaries of state. It's got tremendous influence, and it literally wants to reduce America's sovereignty in the interest of globalism. Am I right about that?
You're absolutely right. And I've said this for years, and people have argued with me for years too, just as forcefully, that the technocrat class hate politics. They hate the whole political sphere.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. They want to get rid of it. Back in the 1930s, when they first crafted technocracy at Columbia University, they wanted to remove the entire level of government from all around. They wanted to get rid of Congress. They wanted to get rid of the courts and just appoint directors like technocrats to run the country directly by fiat. Just say, hey, this is what we're going to do. Well, they're going to run it like the Enterprise in Star Trek. You know, it's like one guy gives all the orders and everybody else jumps downstream.
Yeah, they don't even have an order of succession for who's going to be the one guy or the two guys or the three guys.
They just appoint somebody else. And this is the problem with this Hydra-headed monster that they've created.
Yeah.
If you think that we can get rid of one person or even five people, let's say, that you, if you determine that, well, there's the enemy, there's the guy, like a Klaus Schwab. If you were able to, and I'm not saying do this, okay, I'm just saying theoretically, if you could remove them out of the scene where they are not in their leadership position where they are, I can guarantee you three more people would jump up immediately. It would be like the whack-a-mole game at this point. Yeah, three more people would stand up, take their place, and life would go on just as before.
Whack-a-narcissist.
Whack-a-narcissist, that's right. Whack-a-narc. I love it.
I mean, these people are so self-involved and so self-centered. They're different people. One of the things I've been studying and thinking about and writing more about lately is we can't quite imagine who they are, because for none of us who are watching probably, do we think that if we have a goal, we have a right to get there no matter what, that there are no ethics to prevent us from getting from what we decide is a goal. And these guys decide they want to run things, or they want the most wealth they can possibly get, or the most power they can possibly get, most in charge they can possibly get. And that's the ethic. It's the same ethic that runs the Communist Party, whom they greatly admire, and that is the end justifies the means. So the means can be anything, including all these dead bodies along the way of making, giving Jared his opportunity to live forever. Yep. They are not like us. We are dealing with the most predatory of human beings. They're global predators, all of them.
Yes. This all dates back, the philosophy behind this dates back a long time, probably a couple centuries, and I won't bore you with the philosophical discussion here, but you can go back to at least the early 1930s, when these scientists and engineers popped out of Columbia University to try and create this new economic system. They had a philosophy, and loosely it was scientism, but it basically could be considered, I think in their own terms, a mechanistic worldview.
Yeah.
Where
no soul.
Everything is just atoms, bodies, molecules, atoms, subatomic particles, quarks, the God particle, whatever, all the way down. And they believe that there's really nothing alive per se in the universe, that everything is just a matter of molecules coming together in some random fashion. Well, nobody else, that's a very narrow group of people that ever believed in this entirely in this mechanistic philosophy that basically scientism, but this has had horrible consequences because it denies the humanity that you and I have. It denies any human elevation whatsoever.
It denies the essential worth of living.
Sanctuary as well, yeah. Like our inner thoughts. And so we're nothing but just a bunch of atoms that happen to be together. And when they talk about resource management at the World Economic Forum or at the United Nations, they talk about resource management. We're part of the resources, folks. That's it. Yeah. They see us as much as the resources they do a tree in the forest. And the tree in the forest has no more value than we do. This is very dangerous.
Well, it may have
very
more.
Dangerous philosophy.
They're trying to tell us it has more value than we do.
That's right. And it's just reminiscent again. I'm just kind of backtracking into Nazi Germany again. This is very reminiscent of the philosophy that preceded a lot of the atrocities that happened in Germany. Yeah. When they said that Jews were subhuman. That's the same thing. It's the same mechanistic thinking. That, well, the Jews are subhuman. Well, what does that mean? Well, they don't really have any of the qualities that humans have. If they have any qualities at all, they don't have it. And so we could just get rid of them and nobody's going to miss them. You know, what difference does it make? It's just like, you have a feedlot and you have 50,000 cattle in it and somebody says, hey, bring me a steak over here, or a chain, Outback calls up and says, bring me this 1,000 steaks. Okay, you go out and grab a couple of steers or a few steers, whatever, and kill them. Then you don't think a thing about it. This is the kind of mentality that they have towards people. And some very astute scholars and philosophers have written about this in the last 20, 25 years. I really like this. And they say, basically, this whole philosophy is anti-human.
Yeah.
Flat out, it is anti-human. And because of that, it's also anti-civilization.
Yes.
Very dangerous philosophy that we're dealing with here, and is capable of virtually anything, as we have just seen with COVID. It's capable of anything. Why don't they stop the shots? Don't they know that, you know, yeah, they do. Sure, they do. They know the shots are harmful. Why don't they stop them? Because the experiment isn't over. That's why. Otherwise, they would have. So, you know, this, you can see this mechanistic philosophy everywhere you look around COVID right now. Nobody wants to take the initiative and say, you know, it'll probably be better for the rest of humanity if we stop passing these shots out. Never occurs to him. Why would he do that? We're still collecting data. You know, every time something happens out there, somebody gets sick and died, we're collecting data, man. Data. We may have made a mistake this time, but we have the data now. Next time we have the data, we have enough data now where we can really, really do a good job next time. You just wait and see. Next round, it's going to be much better, much smoother. And they're going to keep selling this dog and pony show to us until the people just finally, if that ever happens, people just finally just rise up and say, not just no, but heck no, you're not going to do this to us anymore.
Yeah. There's a piece of the equation that's even a little more grim, which is that, and you're very aware of it, that for many of them, there are far too many people.
Yes.
And they knew for sure, because Ginger and I showed the research. We checked, we went back through the animal research on the vaccines, and up till the time the vaccine was actually put into the final rush mode, scientific articles were coming out saying this is too deadly to experiment with on humans. Do not experiment on humans.
Yes.
And that just didn't bother them because they were very happy in their movement toward a cheaper, more efficient world to kill off as many old people as possible.
Yes. Yeah.
And I know that for some people they're gonna be saying, oh, Peter, we thought you were a loving human being. You know, we thought you were kind. Where do you come up with such a crazy idea about people? The more loving you become, folks, the more you realize that there's some folks who are not.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
It's really true, isn't it?
Yes, it's very evil. I'm always remembering a sermon I heard years ago. I won't talk about the sermon, but one of the concluding lines in this whole story that this preacher was telling was that the phrase he used was monsters of iniquity. And as a phrase,
hey, I like that.
That has stuck in my mind for years.
Yeah.
I call it almost like an earworm. You know, so you get a song in your ear and you can't get it out of your head once it's in there, right? This is kind of an earworm to me for, I don't know, 30 or 40 years, I think. The monsters of iniquity. And not everybody is necessarily a monster of iniquity, but I look at these people today. And some of the things, some of the details, like what you're talking about, they knew from well before they started Operation Warp Speed what was going to happen. They knew well before that it was an experiment. They intentionally did it that way. And you look at what's happened now and how many people have died. We're in a full-fledged genocide right now on a global basis. The only thing you can conclude, because they won't stop it now, nobody's stopping it. You look at these people and you just have to sit back and reflect. They are monsters of iniquity. That's all you can conclude. Flat out evil. And this is what most people have a hard time getting their head around. That level of evil actually is in the world. And you remember after World War II, after the German experiment, I won't call it experiment, but they're experimenting. The world was so outraged that the thing of the day that everybody said was never again. Never again. That was the big slogan back then. Never is going to happen again. We're going to make sure that what happened in Nazi Germany is never going to happen again in the world. They were monsters of iniquity. Well, guess what? We come full circle, and we're basically right back where we started.
Yeah.
And people long forgotten never again. Or they would have been saying it again along the way. Say, wait a minute, I recognize that. I recognize this philosophy. I recognize this mentality, this eugenics mentality. I recognize that. Let's stop it now before it gets out of hand. But they couldn't do it. And now it's taken us over. And now we see they've actually conquered the White House with this executive order.
Yeah.
You get everything they ever wanted, all the money they ever want, all the government resources they ever wanted, all the universities, all the education, all of the training of people to run their crazy industry that they're trying to build.
We've got just about 40 seconds left. And what I want to emphasize is the only hope is to rebuild constitutional democracies around the world. If you have a genuine constitutional democracy, this will be stopped. It is the only thing that stops this sort of slaughter of one's own people.
Yes, I agree.
And so that's what we got to do, folks. We got to do everything in your power, my power, all of our powers to reestablish the fundamental principles of the United States of America, which do stand for individual, or once did, but at heart stand for individual freedom.